It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Hansen in for John Williams and the always busy Terry Savage, the money lady, literally responding to texts right now for financial questions from your friends and family. You're always, do friends and family always call and ask you every single question too?
No, my friends and family know better, but it's the weirdest thing. I could be having any kind of a conversation. Last night with a girlfriend about a friend of hers, and they were in the antiques business, and they were older, and I said, wait a minute, they need to do this estate planning, a healthcare property. But we were having a discussion about something else, about an antique that made her talk, you know, so I'm terrible.
So you guide the conversation there.
I always give them a warning. Wait, I'm turning into Terry Savage now.
The money lady.
Stop me if you want.
It's Terry over here, and then it's the money lady.
Yeah,
and
I'm just your friend Terry discussing whatever, interior design and how cool that was, and then antiques, and then those people, and then careful.
Do your friends start to back away when you start doing that, or are they so you should? Although you give so much information.
There's a look in their eyes, and I know to stop. But we were on the phone, and I said, tell me if you want me to stop. I could stop now. No, but could you send me that in an email, and I'll pass it on to her?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
That's my life.
Terry, I'm so glad you I got handed this article that you had written in terrysavage.com about homeowners insurance. And I mean, some people are saying, I think they'll figure it out before then, that the homeowners insurance world as we know it could completely collapse or change radically soon, as it is not profitable for many insurance companies now. In many states, many more than you think. I think Florida and California, people think, okay, a lot of damage due to storms, fires, etc. No, in Illinois, many, many years, they are not profitable anymore.
Yeah,
what's your take
Illinois,
on this?
Yeah, in Illinois, homeowners insurance companies have made money, been profitable in just three of the last 7 years. There's a big New York Times article. We both read it. Homeowners insurance was unprofitable in 18 states last year, up from 8 in 2013, because it's everything. It's like pestilence, hail. It's not the cicadas, but in
derechos.
Florida, it's the weather. It's the heat and the wildfires. It's not just earthquakes, because that's covered separately, and hurricanes are covered separately. However, here's a little shocker for you. Stocks of the homeowners insurance companies, the public ones, are near their all-time highs. Allstate, Travelers.
How do you square that circle?
Because you all know it. Everybody out there yell all at once, because they're raising my premiums an ungodly amount, which leaves you, the homeowner, and probably not our listening audience, but the first time I heard someone say this was down in Florida. Yeah, my sister-in-law and her husband just dropped their homeowner's insurance. I said, well, you can't do that.
You can't
do that.
Right.
But their home is fully paid off. So their mortgage doesn't require, they don't have a mortgage. If you have a mortgage, you have to have insurance, protect the lender. And she said to me, they were up 30% this year after 16% the year before. But get the numbers. And they just decided, even with their high deductible, and it doesn't cover hurricane, that they couldn't afford to live in the house and pay the insurance. So if it gets wiped out, it gets wiped out. They'll go on Medicaid. They're older. They just stop paying homeowners insurance. And that's happening.
There are small towns in Iowa that have been hit by a couple derechos over the years that the homeowners, they don't offer it. They say no, or we're offering it, but we don't cover roofs. Right?
Exactly, or wind-driven damage. I mean, think of all the tornadoes and the tornado watches we're even having around here.
I know that there's some thought about, does the government step in? They do this for FEMA flood insurance. Is there a day that you see where homeowners insurance will be run through the government?
Let's remember this. The government can print all the money it wants to do all the things it thinks are important, and politicians will have to agree. High on the list will probably be Social Security. They ought to pay. But there are a lot of public pensions. I mean, they're not backing the city of Chicago's police and fire pensions. We can't print the money. So every time someone thinks something is, quote, important, we expect the government to step in. They could. They could print the money. It means your dollars would be worthless. Yeah, the government could, but the government likely won't.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a boon.
But they
that'd
have disaster areas where they can declare a disaster area where you can get a low interest loan. But at some point, I'm actually, Emerge Health is doing a whole thing on the financial health of the United States. It's by coincidence, I'm moderating a panel tomorrow at lunch about what are the challenges to the financial health of the United States. So there are certain demographic challenges, aging and changing racial profiles and technology and so forth. But one of the biggest discussion topics for the experts on my panel is climate change. How people get either priced out of homes or they lose their homes totally and can't afford insurance. So these are huge challenges.
For sure.
Oh, before we leave, yes. Homeowners insurance.
Yes.
So I didn't just want to lament about the rising prices or the fact that the way they're compensating for all this risk that we, you know, we see it on the weather map, but it's really a long-term trend change in climate and so forth. So I wrote a column. It's up at terrysavage.com. And there are two links in there that you might want to use. One is there's a risk profile link that the New York Times created. They had done this big study on it. But I figured not everybody reads the New York Times. Right. I'll write a personal finance column called What Do You Do? So the first thing is there's a link you can click on to see you have a house in Wisconsin or Indiana or in Florida or California or just here in Illinois. You could click on that link and see the state's risk profile. And then there's a list of things you can do. And one of them, you said someone contacted, talked to their insurer. Well, you could try that. But as I say in the column, be prepared for no sympathy, but certainly give it a try. There are also links on that column to compare homeowners insurance premiums, homeownersinsurancecompare.com, thezebra.com. And they'll, you know what they're going to do. They're going to send your name out to a lot
of
agents, and you're going to just get inundated with that stuff. But and also, it's tough to compare because they may sucker you in with a relatively good deal this year. You don't have a long track record with them. Even if you don't have a claim, it could go up next year. Talk about looking at what your coverage is, raising your deductible, bundling your auto and homeowners. It sounds like a, you know, one of those progressive ads. But
yeah.
But the fact is, you now no longer just want to sit there and go, oh, honey, the homeowners insurance bill arrived. When are we going to pay that? You might want to
shop around
a little.
Yeah, and also they have drones now that they go up, and we've been hearing people saying that they send them a picture of their roof and say, we're not going to cover you unless you replace this roof. I mean, it's insane.
Well,
and they're not coming with the money to help you do it. But
they're being careful with their shareholders and policyholders' money.
I'm not sympathetic to homeowners insurance companies, of course, but when I read that they are losing money in 18 states, sympathy is not the right word, but I understood the premium increases. I mean, they're not going to operate. It's not a charity. It's a business.
Right.
They're going to operate. And if
you want them to be there and solvent to pay your claim, by the way.
Yes.
If you're the one paying the premium.
Well said. You ready for some phone calls?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's go to Warren. Warren, you're on WGN with the Money Lady. Hello.
Hey, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Trying to add beneficiary onto my treasurydirect.gov account. I just can't figure out how to do it.
It is complicated, Warren. In fact, it's so complicated that I wrote it down. If you go to terrysavage.com, and there's a box on the right under financial links called How to Buy Treasury Bills, scroll down, and there are instructions how to do that, how to add a beneficiary.
It was the world's first website ever made, it seems like,
no,
Warren.
No, actually, they're better than a lot. Treasury Direct is a really good website. But the process for adding a beneficiary, I'm not going to try and describe it here.
Is that hard?
I can't. I would have to go read my own instructions, which is what I'd have to do if I was sitting at the computer. But go to terrysavage.com, How to Buy Treasury Bills, scroll down, and there's a step-by-step guide to adding a beneficiary.
Thanks, Warren.
Thank you.
It took me a while to find my tax forms. And by the way, if you've ever been listening for the past couple of years,
check your inbox in January.
That's
you'll get your 1099.
Okay, Terry, you're right. The 630, I'm retired. I have over $900,000 in a 403B. How do I get more value?
Whoa, you're retired. First of all, you have to think about, do you want to leave your money in a 403B? Of course, it's safe there. And at some point, at age 73, you'll be starting to take required minimum distributions. If you go to terrysavage.com, and under the columns, there's a search button right at the top of the columns thing. Just put in the word rollover. It will show you how to do without anyone helping you, guiding you, offering information and advice and charging you fees, how to do on your own a direct rollover to a place like Vanguard or Fidelity or T. Rowe Price, one of my favorite companies. And it's a process of direct transfer from your current custodian to your new one. Then you are left with, well, how am I going to invest it? And that's where the snake pit comes in. There, you'll be invited to a free lunch out somewhere, a free chicken dinner, whatever it is. We'll give you advice on your rollover. We'll give you these products like equity-linked annuities. Don't do that. We will give you all kinds of things where you could get more out of your 401k without any risk or your rollover account. That's what you want to avoid. But once you get there, you've done so well so far, you can switch to a balanced fund, an equity income fund for a little safety because you want to sleep at night, some in a money market fund. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. You'll be paying the lowest fees. And this would also be a good time to search for a fee-only fiduciary financial advisor. People think I'm doing a commercial. I'm not. I get nothing out of this. On my website, find your fee-only fiduciary is a link to Pam Kruger's Wealth Ramp site.
Okay.
She finds and carefully vets fee-only advisors. Not so much for your investment advice, although they're very sharp people. They're registered. They're certified financial planners. And they'll say, you know, maybe you're too bunched up in your rollover account. They're not going to try and move it somewhere and get a commission. They'll also be looking at what's your straw for a strategy for withdrawal?
Right.
When you're going to take Social Security, do you need long-term care insurance? How updated is your will? So those are the kinds of things you do at rollover time. Look for inexpensive rollover and fee-only fiduciary advice about your whole life.
And the very least, 630, look at under the hood of the 403B and the 401K. If you're retired, make sure it's not on the aggressive setting. We'll let the table that for right now. Time for the money lady. Terry Savage, you ready to keep on rolling on?
Let's go.
Phone line's open, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. A lot of people asking, wait, hold on. She said fee-only fiduciary. Questions like, they don't earn commissions. How much is the fee? Explain it a little bit more, Terry, what
okay,
that means.
Okay, that's why I drew you a roadmap, because it's very hard to walk outside, wave a flag, and say, I'm looking for a financial advisor who's a fiduciary and charges only fees.
I kind of want to try that downstairs.
Yeah,
right now, but
you do that in the lobby of your building.
Uh-huh.
So that's, I mean, I could send you to FINRA.org, the website, and so on, but let me make it easier for you. I didn't know Pam Kruger until a few years back. She told me what she was going to do, and I said, you go for it. You remind me of me. You're young. You go for it. And she did it. And she's done it, and has just been given awards and so forth. She decided that she would carefully vet in every state, although your advisor doesn't have to be in your state, but you maybe want to meet with him or her personally.
Mm-hmm.
Fee only. What does fee only mean? It means we'll give you a set fee based on, and I'll come back to what the amount should be, what's the work involved? You're going to handle your own investments. You've done a great job. You're at Vanguard. You think you've got a great asset allocation. We'll just look over your shoulder. We'll give you some comments, but we're not going to be on top of it. We're not picking stocks and so forth. But we're going to look over your program. We're going to work with you. We're going to get together with your accountant, or we'll get you one. We're going to work together with your estate planner, or we'll introduce you to one, or we have one on staff. And we will put together a plan about your income in retirement, your likelihood of running out, how you should risk adjust your investments so that you can do the withdrawals, and Social Security will come into it. Pam's gotten these advisors, not a humongous amount of them around the country. She created WealthRamp.com. You don't have to go through Terry Savage on the top box where it says find your fiduciary advisor. You go straight to WealthRamp, WealthRamp.com. Pam will talk to you. I know she does. She talks to everybody. You fill out a questionnaire. She will give you a couple of names. You get a free conversation with them. They'll ask you questions. You're going to ask them questions. No, we haven't redone our estate plan since the kids graduated college. We should do that, I guess. And they will give you an idea of what the fee should be.
Right.
Maybe it's $3,500. I mean, it's not, you don't notice when you buy a stock and they've buried a 50 basis point commission in 1,000 shares. You're paying those fees anyway. But these people are not selling you insurance, so they are not making commissions. They are not putting you in funds where they get a kickback on the annual management fee. That's not the point. It's overall financial planning with someone who says, in paper, in writing, I am a fiduciary. I guarantee to put your interests ahead of my own. So go directly to WealthRamp.com. Go directly, or go to Terry Savage. There's a little box in the top right. Find your trusted advisor. And try out the process. The first conversation is going to be free. You're just going to set up, here's what I think I need. They're going to say, well, have you done this, this, and this? And then they're going to give you an estimate. We think that do you want to meet with them? You want to hear from them every month? No, you don't. But twice a year, maybe?
Then they'll tell you what it is.
And they'll tell you what it is up front.
630 chimed in. She says she doesn't know if you'll answer this question, but she lives in a townhouse community that was hit by the tornado, the F3 through Woodridge 3 years ago that missed my brother's house by about a block with his kids upstairs. We're being told by our management company that our association is underinsured. My question, isn't there a fiduciary responsibility for insurance companies to make sure properties are insured accurately to cover the increasing cost of rebuilding at today's prices?
Well, actually not. The fiduciary responsibility is for them not to allow you to overinsure. So one day I said, no, I want more insurance. Said, yeah, no, we can't do that. We've assessed what your cost of rebuilding would be and the additional cost of what's inside. It is your management company's responsibility to make sure that the common elements are adequately insured, and that the repairs if to the common elements, which may be the roofs, maybe not, I don't know where your homeowners works, are adequately rebuilt. So it's time for everybody in your association to say, listen, do we need an attorney to get you guys to adequately insure us? And then they're going to say, yeah, well, we did look into adequate insurance, and it will double your monthly assessment. And so it's a big issue, but it's not solved by burying your head in the ground. You can only go underground in the immediate proximity of a tornado.
Yes.
Before that, you should have your head up in the air looking into the financial realities of the cost.
For sure. We're going to hit the Winters Business Minute in a moment. I do want to ask you about target date funds. A lot of people get invested in them normally. Why don't we go to the Winters? Why don't we go to the swing first, and we'll talk about it on the other end. How does that sound?
Okay, perfect.
I don't want to start this and then go down a whole thing. So 12:41, let's get the Winters Business Minute. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. University of Chicago's new Venture Challenge awarded about $2 million to teams competing for funding. It was the largest investment pool in the 28-year history of the school's venture competition involving MBA students. The new Venture Challenge has graduated 370 startup companies, and they've raised more than $1 billion. Those startups have secured more than $8.5 billion in mergers and exits and launched companies like Grubhub, Venmo, and Simple Mills. Chicago Inno reports supply chain software startup FreshX won first place at the competition, receiving $1 million in overall investment. The company is developing software to help food companies and freight brokers book and manage cold chain transportation and storage. The parent company of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois is shedding office space in Chicago. Cranes reports Healthcare Services Corp. has put 230,000 square feet of space up for lease at 300 East Randolph. The company operates in the 54-story building overlooking Maggie Daly Park. The newly available space spans 8 floors and adds to the still increasing office vacancy rate in Chicago. That rate currently tops 25% for the first time. The shift to remote work following COVID is mostly to blame. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, let's get the business of food. Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And what's the story about a farmer who is getting ready to plant corn?
The story is, as it was related to us from the farmer, is that he had just turned the field. He had plowed it, so the dirt was loose. And as he was walking out in the field, the sun was just right, and he sees the glint of gold come from the ground.
It kind of reminds me of the old Sting hit, Fields of Gold, which was about the color of fields of barley. But this is about real gold.
And he bends down and picks up a gold coin that dates back to the Civil War.
That's cool, as we see gold selling for about $2,400 an ounce right now. But there's more. After, I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, a farmer in Kentucky was getting ready to plant corn when he spotted the glint of gold.
And literally, as he was digging through the dirt, gold coins are spilling out onto the ground.
That is Chip Polston, the host of a TV show called Kentucky Life on the PBS network in Kentucky, KET.
He said he spent about another 45 minutes and kept on digging. He thought he may have found around 300 to 400 coins, but when he got home and started counting, he had found more than 800 coins, 770 of which were gold.
Wow. It was such a huge discovery, it received its own name, the Great Kentucky Hoard. So then what did the farmer do, Chip?
So the farmer was really smart. He got online and found a guy who lives in Kentucky, literally wrote the encyclopedia of gold Civil War coins. Jeff Garrett is the guy's name. And he took one coin with him, and Jeff got very, very excited when he saw this one particular coin, because it was a very rare find. And the farmer finally told him, well, I've got 18 more of these. And Jeff just absolutely could not believe that he had come across this.
I haven't mentioned the farmer's name and where his farm is in Kentucky because I don't know. Chip doesn't know either. He's never met him. He's only communicated by email through the coin dealer. And there's a lot more about where the coins came from and where the farmer eventually sold the coins and for how much, which we'll have to wait until tomorrow because I'm out of time. On the food calendar, today's National Ketchup Day, it's National Veggie Burger Day, and National Gingerbread Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. All right, Terry, target date 401ks. I somewhat nonchalantly asked you if you had a thought on that, and then you started furiously typing away at the keyboard. And yes, you do. What do you...
Yeah, because I wanted to give you the facts.
Give it to me.
About 15, 20 years ago, originally 401k plans were not allowed to give advice, but they would have something called a safe harbor. And so the investment management business, which has made gazillions off this, said, okay, we're managing your 401k plans. We used to have the growth fund, the balance fund, the this fund, and then that fund. We're creating something called target date funds. And they got the blessing of the industry. This was a qualified default option, so people wouldn't just stick in the money market fund. They were new at this 25, 30 years ago.
Right. The theory being that if you're retiring later, it's aggressive at the beginning.
It's aggressive when you're young, and when you get to retirement age, it'll be much more conservative, and you don't have to worry about your, quote, asset allocation.
Don't have to touch a thing.
There is a gadfly in the industry. You can Google him, Ron Surz, S-U-R-Z, who I've known for maybe 15 years, done columns about him, who has been ranting correctly about the inherent dangers of target date funds and says, listen, the investment managers are getting like $3.5 billion worth of profits. The corporate people that supervise the retirement plans, they just want to wash their hands of it. They don't want to give advice. So as long as these target date funds are there, they feel like they're doing their business. Now, here's what he says, and here's a quote. The major misalignment with the interests of the beneficiaries, the people whose accounts there are, is that at the target date, which is your retirement date, that's what you put in, the year I'm going to retire in 2025 or 2030, at the retirement target date, the typical target date fund is 85% invested in risky equities and long-term bonds. That allocation lost more than 30% in 2008, the last major downturn. And let me also add that 2 years ago, when both stocks and bonds were down, stocks because of the scare of COVID, and bonds as interest rates went up, bond prices fall. It's shocking. This I'm quoting him, that the theory they say they use about diminishing risk would say that they should be in 80% risk-free investments at the target date.
It should be inverted.
Risk-free being money market funds, short-term CDs, that kind of thing. Instead, it's 85% in risky equities. Now, the argument is, oh, yeah, you're retiring at 65 or 67, but you're probably going to live at least 25 more years. You need some exposure to equities. Nobody's telling you to go all into a money market fund at age 67. That stocks over the long run, over every 20-year period, keep up with and beat inflation, the S&P 500. That's just a fact. But the fact is, everybody goes to sleep. And what happens to you if 2 years after you retire, or the year you retire, we have one of these huge bear markets, 35, 40% downturn, and I've seen them, then all your withdrawal plans have to be recalculated. When you retire, a downturn doesn't mean, oh, great, my $350 this month will buy more stocks cheaply. It means, oh, my God, I can't withdraw as much. So if you're in a target date fund, the message is, it's just a factual message, you got to get out of the target date fund around retirement and go. You could leave some of it in there, but some of it needs to go into something much more conservative. Not 85% stocks and bonds. There's just too much danger there once you're retired.
Two things I think can be true. I feel like they are useful for people just to have their hands off. If it's a barrier of entry for people to invest, and this takes away that barrier of entry.
Fine when you're 25, 30, 35, 40. But as you're getting closer, and especially in retirement, Yes, you said I'm retiring at age, whatever it is, I'm retiring in 2025 or I've got the 2030 fund. That does not mean you are protected. It does not mean they got so conservative that you aren't going to have a panic if the bear market occurs at the beginning of right. your retirement or when you're 70 and you have to start withdrawing.
Sometimes I feel like we say passive investor or active investor without realizing that the middle ground is more where people are. I mean,
it's your money. Yes.
It's your money. Yeah.
You have to pay attention. So do not, that's the message of this. There's nothing. We're not going to do away with the trillions in target date funds now.
Right.
It's the largest default option in every 401k.
Right.
It's a warning to you that it is not going to protect you against losses. And those losses can be frightening and dangerous at the beginning of, if they happen at the beginning of your retirement. Now, we're at all-time market highs. So
well, yeah, everything feels great now.
So,
yeah.
You know, hallelujah. But once you're retired, boy, you're not getting to replace that money. You need to look inside your target date fund and say, I don't think it should all be in there anymore.
Someone wanted to know, this is a great question. They are concerned about Chicago's pension system, and they're just wondering, is there anywhere where they can find out more information about what the heck is happening with Chicago's pensions?
I'm going to give you that information right now. The reason I'm on top of it is I went to a dinner a couple nights ago with some of Chicago's finest political reporters.
Ooh.
It was a small roundtable. It was so much fun to listen to them and talk about the trial and the this and the that. And they turned to me and said, okay, Terry, because everybody had something to worry about, whether the city of Chicago, the election. It was fascinating. I was listening. They said, Terry, what are you most worried about? And I said, well, it's not, I mean, there's a lot to worry about in politics, but I think the big hot button headline in Chicago in the next coming years is going to be Chicago's municipal pension funds. So I had looked up and I knew right where to look mm-hmm. when you told me you wanted to ask me that. As of December 31st, the firefighters, general employees, police officers, and labor pension funds, here are the funding ratios. The worst is the $1 billion Chicago Fireman's Annuity and Benefit Fund, funded at a 20.8% actuarial value. Your after pension fund, I think you have an after pension fund, I do, is funded at like 90-something percent. 20.8%, the firemen's, the $3.5 billion Municipal Employees Annuity and Benefit Fund, 22.8%. The $3 billion Chicago Policeman's Annuity and Benefit Fund, funded at 23.8%. And the $1.1 billion Chicago Laborers Benefit Fund at 44%.
Can you explain what that percentage means?
That means that they are going to have to sell assets to pay benefits. They will, you know, Social Security could print the money. And I say that facetiously, but there's a lot of things
yeah.
they can do. But they would have to take every property tax dollar from the city of Chicago and put it into the pension funds. They've been adding a little bit. There's always a big announcement. We've added in our budget
right.
$2 billion this. But the fact of the matter is these pension funds are woefully underfunded. You've got firefighters running into burning buildings, police out on the streets facing insane challenges. And they have been doing this because they knew they had a public pension fund. I am not trying. I wrote about this 15 years ago when I called it the coming pension wars. I was shocked when people said, Terry, don't you dare say that. We'll pay the pensions of our fired police. And I mean, I was the first time I wasn't the darling of everyone's eye because how can you say that? I know you're thinking that now. But I'm looking at these numbers. These come from an article in Pensions and Investment Magazine. You just look up Chicago Pension Funds Funding Ratio on Google. It's not only in this article, but all over. The Fireman's Pension Fund funded at 20.8%.
That's scary.
We don't have enough young new policemen and firemen. I mean, I know that because I read that
right.
we're understaffed in those departments. So there are not enough people paying in. The older these employees are going to retire. One day they're all going to look around and say, I'm getting out while I can get my pension, but that won't help them. The whole thing has been underfunded for years. And we're within, I would say, 3-4 years of that becoming the top front page item in Chicago.
When when you mentioned that you wrote about it 15 years ago, I'm sure you've been talking about it long before then. When I was doing some research for when there was a pension case, went to the Illinois State Supreme Court, I did like a newspapers.com search. I have a subscription. Mm-hmm. There was a Chicago Tribune editorial written in 1916 warning about pensions 100 years before the case was there. Yeah, it certainly is a problem. And like you said, not enough younger people replacing. That's what Social Security's problem is, but they can print the money and hopefully fix that. Terry, I can't believe we're out of time.
So fast.
It went
I'll
fast.
Be back.
You'll be back next week with John.
Yes, and I love doing it with you too.
We'll talk
Thank
soon.
Thank you.